This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, everyone! Do you wish you were somewhere sunny, but are dealing with another crazy spring? There's a solution to get that feeling. I'm grabbing a Hawaiian Breeze 5-Hour Energy and escaping there in my mind. Sports fans, ever stay up late for the game and drag the next day? A 5-Hour Energy shot will fix that no problem. 5-Hour Energy's website has tons of flavors, over 15 to choose from. Watermelon, Tropical Burst, Blue Raspberry, and even hard-to-find ones like Strawberry Lemonade and Extra Strength Fan Fuel. There's a flavor for everyone. You can even build your own 12 or 24-pack and have it delivered. Or grab a shot at your local store. They're everywhere! And it's basketball season! My schedule is packed, and I don't want to miss a second, so I grab a 5-Hour Energy shot. They're perfect for back-to-back games or when my team plays late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going through the game and the next morning. Visit 5hourenergy.com for deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yep.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
It's time to wake on up. Wake up. With a nice cup of Joe.
What's up, Joe, bro?
Featuring Joe Spadoni.
He's an Italian.
And Joe, the Butcher Boy Shasky.
I am slippery.
Oh!
The best part of waking up is morning roast in your cup.
It is the morning roast, man, on 95.7 The Game.
Oh, we're back halfway home on a Tuesday, a beautiful Tuesday in the Bay. It was ugly yesterday. There was like spot showers in the East Bay and San Francisco. Roadways are slick, but the sun is shining on the Golden State. But Warriors, disappointing loss. 114-105 to the shorthanded Denver Nuggets. No Jokic, no Jamal Murray, no problem. You got your head coach Steve Kerr saying that your star player, Stephen Curry, who was 6-21 yesterday, just 20 points and 7 turnovers, saying he looks exhausted, he looks tired, and there's a possibility he doesn't play tonight on the back end of a back-to-back against the Milwaukee Bucks. Like, it's a huge decision. Joe Shasky, as I say good morning to you, Sam Lubman, Matt Mahigian, all of you lovely people just getting off work, getting ready for work, getting ready for school. We are live from the Laughing Monk Studios, baby, brewed righteously here in San Francisco. Shout out Laughing Monk. We love you. And we love the YouTube chat, because it is also sponsored by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. We are streaming on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube. And also, be sure to download the free Odyssey app and take us wherever you need to go. Joe Shasky, disappointment all around in a major decision tonight. From Rick Celebrini, from Steve Kerr, the coaching staff, all baked into it. And Stephen Curry himself, as he is dealing with the back injury that I'm concerned about. And there's parts of me where I understand why you need to play him tonight because of the disappointment of yesterday and where you're just clinging to a half game lead over the Minnesota Timberwolves. You need to start creating some separation there, and you're not doing it. But you need to protect players from themselves. And this is why I brought in Jimmy Butler, because the load on Stephen Curry was too much. So, yeah, I'm saying you sit him tonight. What are you saying?
I think you got to sit him, but I also understand that you might not have a choice. But here's the thing, though. Like, Steph's also got to acknowledge, like, late in last night's game, you're doing too much. You're doing too much. It's okay. You're an all-time legend. One of the greatest players any of us has ever seen. We got Jimmy to help you.
Yeah.
Not so you could go more YOLO mode. Like, we love when you do the crazy, miraculous, I'm on fire, you know, let's do this kind of stuff. But they got Jimmy to give you a lifeline and to be the 1B to your 1A. And on nights where you clearly look a little tired, you clearly don't have it, you're clearly getting guarded by bigger, more physical players, it's okay to not take a starring role and be the co-star. And I just thought last night was a great example of him doing too much.
You had to be the best supporting actor, right? Like Sam Rockwell in that last episode of White Lotus. Steve Kerr, yesterday after the loss, on Stephen Curry.
He's tired. Been carrying us for a month. He's been amazing. He's tired. So we got to get him. We got to get him some rest. I just you can see it. He doesn't have his energy right now.
Real quick, you know, I'm just laughing because that's how I feel sometimes starting the show. I want to play that. Can we keep that soundbite on the board forever? Sam Ludman, Joe Shasker, just he's tired. You know, he had a long night. That's how I feel. But like, he hasn't been playing tired, though, the last month. Like, that's part of it. Like, we've been talking about him, like, in the bilateral knee tendonitis we were talking about. We haven't brought that up since the Jimmy Butler acquisition.
Because they've been winning.
Well, and he's looked refreshed.
He's had a couple of clunkers.
Sure.
I would say in the last six or seven games, he had a couple of clunkers. But I think what that is, and the more and more I hear it this morning, and maybe I'm, after hearing it 10 times or whatever, it hits you different. Is that him sending a message to Steph like, dog, pass the rock a little?
Well,
is that maybe the way that he's trying to communicate to Steph? It's not necessarily the, hey, maybe he needs to sit tonight. It's more like, maybe you need to, like, allow other people to, you know, be the primary playmaker late in games.
Well, we were talking about, like, head coaches and what they do well, and we had Jim Barnett, the great Jim Barnett, Warriors icon, courtesy of the River Islands guest line on yesterday with us. And if you've missed any of that interview, find it on YouTube, find it on the Free Odyssey app. JB was great. And he was talking about the psychologist, Steve Curry. He said he's a psychologist and how he's able to relate to players and talk to them. But something that Steve probably learned from his former head coach, Phil Jackson, was speaking through the media, right? Phil was really good at speaking through the media, getting certain messages, whether it's the league or whether it's to his own players. And maybe, like you're alluding to, maybe he was talking directly to Steph right there through the media saying, yeah, he just looks tired. Well, Stephen Curry heard it or was told about it, and he responded yesterday after the game saying this. I feel fine. Obviously, I didn't play great at all, so everybody's going to, including coach, is going to try to figure out why. And mostly the turnovers, dumb plays all night, but had a really good run. You expect to have a level of consistency and whatnot, so when it doesn't happen, it becomes a question. I feel like more so my back that I was dealing with the last couple of days, see how that responds tomorrow. Otherwise, feel pretty solid. Well, that's where I'm at with this. Are you fine or are you not fine? Like, because clearly your back's not fine because he said he's having to deal with it. Like, that's concerning to me. Now, is this just something that's flaring up because he's old age? Is this a lingering issue? Like, we're already dealing with Brandon Pajemski dealing with back spasms. Like, and he's been missing the last four or five games, however long it is. And hopefully he's back tonight. He was questionable yesterday. Hopefully we see some Brandon Pajemski tonight because, boy, do they need some more depth there and some energy, some guy that can attack the glass and get some of those boards. But Stephen Curry, you know, deal with the back injury. And again, we're asking the question because it's a big decision tonight. After the loss yesterday and the back end of the back-to-back against the Milwaukee Bucks, do you play him tonight? More from Steph.
Let me jump in here. Do you know who the all-time leader is for the Warriors in assists?
Steph Curry?
Yep.
I thought this is a quick trick question.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah. 6,400. Okay. Yeah. You know who's the all-time leader in turnovers?
Stephen Curry.
By over 1,000.
Yeah.
All right. And he's basically at a 2-to-1 ratio. The biggest Achilles heel of his entire game is not defense, yeah. though defense was a weakness of his. It's the crazy, unnecessary, reckless turnover. It drives me insane. The ability for this guy to be able to do whatever he wants at times with the ball, but also simultaneously be so careless. And it's like, there are points in games, especially the tight games, where it's like he's trying to put on the highlight package, the Harlem Globetrotter play, and you're like, you just don't need to do that. He threw one yesterday, the Pistol Pete pass, where he like, it was like a bowling throw where he tried to throw it up and over. What are you doing? We got to stop.
Do not loft the balls. There's a sign at the bowling alley, folks. You can't loft those balls.
What are you doing? Now, look, when you hold the ball as much as he does, when you handle the ball as much as he does, and you score as much as he does, you play as long as he has, you're going to be the leader in a lot of categories. He's probably going to have the most misses ever. You know, all
it's
these
the Tom Brady stats. Like,
exactly.
Yeah.
But
he has everything.
The point that I'm getting at is 2-to-1. That's kind of his ratio of assist to turnover. It has been a problem for him. Simultaneously, Draymond Green, same thing. Draymond's a little better. He's about 2.5-to-1 in terms of career turnovers and assist to turnover ratio.
4 turnovers yesterday for Draymond Green, though. 5 assists. So, again, it was not pretty from him. Was not pretty. Jimmy Butler had a couple of bad turnovers. Again, Steph with 7. Jonathan Kuminga had some bad turnovers.
That's been the biggest bugaboo of this team. And they used to be able to get away with it. They did, Joe. They used to be able to get. You can't get away with it anymore.
Well, it's easy to get away with it when you have Kevin Durant.
The margin of error is just too thin.
When you have Andre Iguodala, when you have Hall of Famers left and right on your team, and then you have the Sean Livingstons of the world, yeah, you can get away with having that many turnovers. You can't do that. And you do it against a team that was without their 2 best players.
And
they also had 20 turnovers, too. So
and they're playing like, methodical.
Yes.
And they're playing. So you need to match their methodical play. You don't need to go up-tempo. In that game, you weren't getting a lot of stops. So when you get a stop, you need to take care of the ball. And I thought 4 or 5 different times. Like, great example was the transition play. It's a 3-on-2, basically 3-on-1. He's got Kuminga on the left side. And I don't know what he was doing. He didn't come to a jump stop. He's moving. He throws the ball right into the first row. That's got to be a layup.
It's got to be a layup.
It's got to be a layup. I'm sorry, man. You've got the numbers. You've got the transition. You're one of the greatest players ever. He had a poor, poor final 6-7 minutes.
And you alluded to Jimmy Butler. You know, I thought that was one of his better shooting nights. 8 of 16 overall. It didn't for the free throw line. That's where it hurt. 4 misses there. You had 3 misses at the line from Jonathan Kuminga. I like that their aggressive mindset. They were getting there. And that's something that we've just come to expect every single game, which I'm not going to sleep on the fact, is Jimmy Butler getting to the line, which is a huge part of this. And Steph got to the line a couple times. Only he was 4 for 4. But no one else outside of those 3 players were really doing that. And when they did get to the line, the Kevon Looney's of the world, the GP2, the Draymond Green for and one opportunities, they missed. And those things, they keep stacking up and stacking up. And then all of a sudden, you look at the box score, 15 of 27. That's 12 points right there. You win the game. Like, I know it sounds simple, but taking care of the dominating the controllables is something that Robert Saleh used to say.
Always.
Free throws are controllable. You can do that. And I get it sometimes physically, like with the big boys, like the Kevon Looney's of the world, I kind of like Shaq, the guys with the really big. Yeah. It's tough for them. But I know Gary Payton, you can control making a free throw. I know Draymond Green, you can control that. Jonathan Kuminga, you guys can work on that stuff. You got to be hitting those things, especially come playoff time, because that is going to be the difference between winning a series
and
losing
doubt.
It. That's going to be huge.
If Jonathan Kuminga wants to, and I love Jonathan Kuminga, but if he wants to take the next leap, going from where he's at as a free throw shooter now to the 80s is the difference in 5 or 6 points a game for him. Because A, he'll be more confident in driving to the lane. He's going to get more calls, which right now he gets a very poor whistle. I'll die on that hill. I think he gets a very poor whistle. But I do think at times he becomes reluctant to drive because he doesn't trust the free throws.
Yeah. And you can't live like that.
No.
That's
Andrew Wiggins lived in that zone for about 2 years.
That's, I'm not calling him this player, but that's the Ben Simmons category you do not want to go to.
The guy we saw on the big screen the other night, Andres Bjelica.
There you go.
When he would go to the free throw line, we would all cringe.
He got the yips, basically.
We literally, as a crowd, would like try to will him to hitting free throws.
Exactly.
Kuminga's not near there, but you get where I'm going. Like, you've got to be able to be proficient at the easy stuff if you want to be a $30 million player.
Well, we were watching a guy tonight where it takes a sweet time and it's turned into a joke almost. Giannis Antetokounmpo, the free throw line has become a thing,
yes.
Right?
But
takes forever.
But to Kuminga's credit, late in the game, he did hit the two big free throws on the one call that he did get. And so, you know, crunch time free throws are important. It was the second quarter for me. Butler misses some,
right.
Looney, Kuminga. And then the big sequence for me was the non-foul call on Kuminga driving to the lane.
Yeah.
And then an automatic three on the other end. That was a huge sequence.
There were so many of those yesterday. I think we played it where there was a Russell Westbrook air ball there with a couple minutes left, and it goes right to Gordon.
Yeah.
He's just right there, gets an easy reverse layup.
And you know, Puka Barnett, offensive rebounds that are air balls usually rebounds that are air balls usually go right to the offense.
Almost always.
Because you're expecting a ricochet.
Absolutely. 888-957-9570. What do we do with Stephen Curry tonight, folks? A poor performance yesterday for him. He's clearly tired. 20 points, 7 turnovers. I chalk a lot of those turnovers. And when you see a lot of lazy turnovers, that, to me, that is a direct result of just being tired. And being you're mentally and physically exhausted, and you do lazy things like that. In life, really, too. And you saw how he looked last night. Do you sit him tonight, which is now a massive game against the Milwaukee Bucks? Or do you say, you know what, we'll bite the bullet, we'll take this. If he needs to get a couple days rest, we do with the Toronto Raptors game. 888-957-9570. Do you sit him or do you start him? Let's go to JJ and Martinez.
Hey, JJ.
Gonna start us here, JJ. What you got, man, on Stephen Curry? Do you sit him?
Yeah, sit him. I hate to say it, but we should have sat him last night. But after last night, you got to let him rest. Got to let the big dog chill. Thank you.
Dang, in and out. JJ Martinez saying sit him, Joe Shasky. Stephen Curry, he alluded to the back, and he expanded on that yesterday after the game and the injury.
No, if I'm out there playing, it's because I feel good enough to play, feel good enough to be myself, so I don't ever kind of marinate on an injury or something that you're feeling, because if I'm out there, I'm supposed to play. I'm supposed to play better than I did tonight.
Well, I understand that. I mean, I don't, but that's kind of a cop-out. He's like, oh, I'm not going to use it as an excuse. If I'm out there, I can play through. I was like, yeah, that doesn't make me feel good if I hear that, though. Like, maybe that's up to the Rick Celebrinis and the Steve Kerr, and that's why we heard from Steve Kerr yesterday saying, yeah, maybe we need to, you know, let him rest tonight and get a couple days off before playing the Toronto Raptors and ending this homestand with an absolute win, because you cannot lose to the Toronto Raptors after losing to that Denver Nuggets team yesterday. And here's a back and forth he had with our guy Anthony Slater, who will join us tomorrow, 95.7 The Game Warriors Insider, and covers the team for Athletic, on the back and when it started.
What happened with your back?
It just started hurting.
A couple games ago, right?
Before the, what game was it? Yeah, last Thursday.
Middle of the game, just started bothering me.
It was actually pregame, but it's something I've dealt with a couple years ago. But it was, I was just a weird thing that popped up, and it's more just managing it.
That does not sound good.
I do not like that at all.
When you say basketball player and back, who's the first name you think of?
Boy, you know, well, actually, sneakily, the guy that we've been talking about, I think of Michael Porter Jr.
Oh, we'll see. I was going to go Larry Bird.
There's a lot. Larry Bird.
Like Larry
shooters,
Bird.
Though. Like, oh, you yeah. think no, of the shooters. Like, and the guy that, like, because Michael Porter, like, that's a player I looked at, like 6'10", just massive. And if you saw him at Missouri, just the size with the speed and the lateral quickness he had is outrageous, where it's like, wow, this guy can do everything. Like, I understood why people thought, like, he could be number one overall pick potential because of everything, but like kind of a Giannis, okay. Right? But he was more built in his body early on, but he had like 3 or 4 back surgeries and he's a stiff out there now.
You don't even need the back surgeries. Like, when I think of a guy whose career was robbed of the back
sure.
injury, Bill Walton. Yeah. Obviously had the knee and stuff, but it's Larry Bird laying on the ground, on a towel, you know, in the early 90s.
I also think of Steve Nash.
Steve Nash is another good
Steve
one.
Steve Nash is back. Absolutely. Just flared up a
and
lot.
Similar to Curry. God, how many miles did that guy put on his legs?
Yep. Very, so that's probably the comp, right?
Yeah. Nash is a great one.
Yeah, and he played until his like early 40s, right? You think of the old Laker like
constant
one.
Constant movement.
Constant, and he's just getting stretched out on the floor, right?
Yeah, that's a really good call, actually. Steve Nash is a good one.
Right. Again, try not to overreact to the game yesterday, but it's hard not to, given all the circumstances that went into it. And I don't think we're overreacting. That was a bad loss.
It was a horrible loss. But it's not like it's not life or death, but the ramifications of losing that game have consequences.
888-957-9570. Let's go to the guy. It's Brian. He's in Palo Alto.
It's one of the worst losses
Brian,
of the year. It's not even close. Give it to
us.
Me, Brian.
Yeah, I'm not overreacting. I mean, they did go 13-1 or whatever in their prior 14 or whatever it was, but And a lot of the other teams in the playoff race, like Minnesota lost last night. I mean, you know, you're going to have some bad losses. I mean, they're terrible. I mean, the turnovers were inexplicable, and it's, yeah, it's, they're not a team that can win anymore when they're going to turn it over 22, 23 times. It didn't seem like the Nuggets turned it over much. So, yeah, sit him tonight. I think Pods is back. I think Pods being out for as long as he has, it's actually been a while, put Steph on the ball more than he wants to, a lot more than he wants to. And they don't really have a backup point guard. Yeah, I think having Pods around will help. You know, I still think they're a player away. So I'm really monitoring Kuminga to see if he's a $35 million player here down the stretch. Wasn't last night, wasn't the night before. I was at that Knicks game.
OG Anunoby and Cat destroyed them. Aaron Gordon, same thing. Those bigger, thicker, rugged guys kill them in the paint.
Yeah. OG's a big dude. Like, that was being at that game. Like, he's big. He's like thick.
Yeah.
And you don't really pick it up on TV. But, you know, like, hey, we're 39-29. You know, like, I still think we have a pretty good chance to get the sixth seed. Man, it'd be nice if some of those teams started losing.
Jesus.
They just can't. Everyone's winning in the West, Brian.
Last comment, man. Man, did the Niners become a bad organization fast.
Hey, BPA. You open the door. Stay on the line. You open the door.
Oh, gosh.
I'm watching the Niners and their indecision. The Raiders.
You looked like the Raiders.
Brian,
we literally said that during the break. We want to sign you.
We don't want to sign you. Oh, my God. We just signed you to a big deal. Now we immediately want to get rid of you. We don't want to pay you, but we do want to pay you. You're signing somewhere else? Make a decision. This is what bad organizations do.
Here's a pretty good bellwether for, like, how bad is this, is Tim Kawakami is absolutely tearing them a new hole, right? And Tim doesn't do that a lot these days. Certainly not with the Niners. And, you know, when you find yourself nodding on Grant Cohn's observations, right, and being like, I align more with Grant's take worldview at this point than David Lombardi. Yeah, like, it's, they're not a good organization. I'm not even asking the question. They're just, I don't know what the hell's going on. I can't believe that Kyle Shanahan is signing off on the stuff that's going on there. And it makes me think that he's not long for the 49ers after this year.
It sure feels that way.
It's good.
I know we cut him off there because we have to go to break eventually here. I'm kind of with him. Like, all of this stuff that's going on with the Niners, and I don't really want to dive too deep in it
now. Sure, you can, yeah.
But I'm going to tell you right now, I don't feel good about where this organization is going to be 1 year from now. I think we're going to be, they're setting this whole thing up to explode like dynamite.
Well, we had Mike Florio on Pro Football Talk, NBC Sports, and he likened it, and he's doubled down on it. He's like, it has an Andy Reid in Philadelphia feel to it. And you don't want that. Now,
I said what I said.
Real quick.
But here's the other part. If that's the case, why would I want to ink up the quarterback for multiple years that this guy, that kind of only works with this guy? Like, they're in a really, dude, this whole thing is just, it's a house of cards.
It's a house of cards. I was going to say shout out Kevin Spacey, but no, we're not shouting out Kevin Spacey. Adam Schefter was talking about it yesterday, and I think this is what he's referring to. It's the Dre Greenlaw report, where it was like, yeah, you know, the Niners, they're trying to get Dre Greenlaw back, even though he agreed to terms with the Denver Broncos. Like, that just sounds like an organization that just doesn't know what they want.
Joe, they gave a tight end none of us has ever heard of.
That's your boy Luke
Farrell. Who's never caught anything of significance, twice as much guaranteed than Dre Greenlaw. Look, even if you would have paid Dre Greenlaw, right, and you'd have brought him back, and he would have never played another down for you, you know what you would have said? You know what? It is Dre Greenlaw. We do love him. $12 million guaranteed would have got the deal done.
You know what? We have the sound. This is Adam Schefter on, I think it was with Altitude Sports yesterday. Schefty, ESPN, talking about the Niners trying to get Dre Greenlaw back.
The Niners were trying to get back Dre Greenlaw, even after Denver had an agreement done with him. You know, they were pushing to get that done, and they were trying to flip his decision in this world that we live in, where, you know, people commit and there are agreements, and the Niners tried to flip Dre Greenlaw back to San Francisco. And I think they were pretty persuasive, but not persuasive enough. And I think Dre Greenlaw stood his ground and kind of stayed with Denver.
What are you doing in San Francisco? I literally am asking the question, what is the blueprint for the 49ers this offseason? Because at first I thought it was trimming the fat. Then he brought back Kyle Juszczyk for some reason, because we all said our goodbyes, but it's like, actually, no, Kyle, we want you back. And then you're having buyer's remorse again, or not buyer's remorse, or seller's remorse. I don't know what it is. So Juszczyk you brought back. You try to get Dre Greenlaw back. Like, the indecision is what is baffling for me for a franchise that has been so good at recognizing talent they wanted to keep. The last couple of off seasons, they've just been throwing bleep at the wall, hoping it sticks. It's been biting them in the ass.
There are many dominoes that led to us, but the big domino that it feels like the changing point of the dynamic of the front office was the whole Brandon Ayuk thing. And I'm not blaming Brandon Ayuk. I'm blaming the team. Their indecision on that has carried over into everything that they've done. I don't feel good about it at all. And if you're telling me that Parag's going to have more power and Jed's going to have more influence and they're going to spend less money, well, I'm out on that. And I don't care about your soccer teams, and I don't care about these other squads you're running. I care about the Niners, the team that I've invested my heart, money, and soul into as a season ticket holder, loving this team my entire life. What are we doing?
The only soccer team I care about, Oakland Roots, home opener this Saturday, Coliseum. I'll be there against San Antonio FC, 7 o'clock, baby. Can't wait for that. We're going to be breaking that down. You know, the Niners vibes are so bad, I'm not letting them leak into the Warriors. They had a bad loss. But you know what? Things are still good overall in Golden State. We're going to discuss that on the other side. It's Bedoni. It's Shasky. 888-957-9570. Join the conversation. Do you start Steph or do you sit him tonight? Major decision. Milwaukee Bucks in town. Giannis Antetokounmpo. Is he still on the Warriors' radar come the offseason? We can get into that. Coming up, brought to you by Front.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Tier Ford.
Boy,
Warriors have not had a run in a long time. Bad pass by Curry, his sixth turnover. And a pass looped ahead by Porter Jr. to Gordon. He'll take it to the right corner and hit another three.
Are you kidding me?
He's 4 of 5 from three. He has 32 points.
Biggest bugaboo of this team.
This is Big Pun from South City. And you know I'm tuned in to the Morning Roast with my guy, Joe Spadoni. Butcher Boy Shasky on 95.7 The Game.
Love me some Big Pun. Aaron Gordon finishing with 38 points is Tim Roy and Tom Tolbert on the call right here on 95.7 The Game. They'll be back in action again tonight. Warriors Live starting at 6 and the tip-off at 7 as your Golden State Warriors take on the Milwaukee Bucks. Yeah, Giannis is coming back into town. Do we start having those conversations again? Whenever Giannis comes, oh, Giannis, the Warriors, is that chatter ever going to get? Like, certain players and conversations will never die. You seem to think it's Kevin Durant coming back here. I feel like the Warriors, the Giannis to the Warriors chatter.
There is a part of me that will never die.
Thank you, Steiny. There's part of me, the Giannis thing will never die, I don't think. But this is a huge game now. It's a huge game. And I want to say this and talk about this right now. 888-957-9570. Coming off that loss yesterday, was it a bigger loss because of the team you were playing against? Now 9 straight losses to the Denver Nuggets. Was it a bigger loss because of the team or because of where you were at in the standings? Like which one hurt more to you? Because the standings are the standings, and I get it. You're clinging to that spot, and I do think they're going to be a playoff team. I really do believe that. Now, I can't say that like with 100% certainty, but I'm 90% sure they're going to be a playoff team. If the season ended today, you're going up against this Nuggets team, and I need to see them beat them like once in the regular season for me to have any shot of them playing in the like.
Yeah, but
the
even
playoffs.
If they would have won that game, or just on your playoff stuff, like even if they win that game, most people are like, yeah, no Jokic, no Murray.
I don't care. I just need to see them. Warriors beat the Nuggets. I could just
okay.
Like even last year when the Warriors beat the Lakers a couple times, oh, but no Anthony Davis. Yeah, but you kept losing to that team in the regular season.
True.
There were some aspects to that where it's like, okay, yeah, and maybe LeBron was hurt for a game or Anthony Davis, but you beat them. I just need that mentally as a fan. And they couldn't even give me that yesterday. It almost feels worse because of the Nuggets that you lost 9 straight and because Aaron Gordon. It wasn't Jokic. It wasn't Murray. It was Aaron Gordon, the local guy from San Jose. He dominated 38 points. It's like, oh.
No, to me, it's the standings. Yes, definitely. I'm pissed because of who you played against, but it's the standings because you have no margin of error. And they sleptwalked through this game. It felt like at the beginning of the game, specifically the first quarter and a half, and it felt like they were like, oh, we're good. We're a 65-win team. This game doesn't mean anything. It's like, no. Dude, one win, you're up in that like 3-4-5 range, like essentially. You can start targeting that. One loss, especially when you found out midway through the second quarter that the Timberwolves lost, and you lose that game, and you're back down. You could be in the play-in. On the road! On the road in the play-in. That you go from literally, we could be a team hosting a series, and we're guaranteeing a series, to you're on the road in a playoff game.
Listen.
Play-in game.
I don't want to say this, because I said it yesterday, and you guys were all scoffing at me. Again, they've never won a play-in game. They're 0-3 all time in play-in games.
I want to avoid the play-in.
Like that, again, there is something to be said about that.
And this team, given their age, given where Steph Curry's back is,
and
given where Jimmy Butler's back is, could use a week off.
And what did we talk about yesterday when we talked about the head coaches that Steve Kerr has a leg up against in the Western Conference? We basically said everyone, except maybe Ty Lue, who has had his number in a finals round once. Again, we trust him in a one-game scenario, potentially. Do you want to go down to Los Angeles in the Intuit Dome? Again, I don't care about the Clippers. There'll be probably more Golden State Warriors fans there. I would rather stay away from a one-game scenario against Kawhi Leonard and James Harden.
And the refs.
And the not with the Clippers. There's a stop.
It's Harden. Harden gets all the calls.
Please. Not 50-year-old James Harden. Just get stop. They adjudicated all
I'm
those
just
stuff.
Saying, like, you know how he is.
Relax.
In those one game scenarios, though,
but no, Kawhi's
two or three
guy,
fouls early, it does change the game.
Kawhi's a guy that a one game scenario could take over.
Sure,
he could beat you.
Sure,
like that's the stuff that does worry me. Now, having said
and
that,
they've lost all three games to them when I think even before Kawhi even got here.
There you go. So they have the tiebreaker. So that is baked into all of this. And the Clippers, by the way, we're mentioning them because they have won three straight. They are the eighth seed, and they are just a game back of the Golden State Warriors for that sixth spot. Warriors have a half-game lead over the Minnesota Timberwolves. God, the West is awesome this year.
The Clippers are like equivalent to the Arizona Cardinals for the Niners. They're just always like tough. They don't fear. No one else fears them, but for whatever reason, they got your number.
They do. You got the Kyler Murray game, right? Where he's just a runaway from going for a 60-yard touchdown, throwing up the deuces like he did on that first drive last year against the Niners. 888-957-9570. Was last night's loss more concerning because of the opponent you played, or because of the standings for you? 888-957-9570. We've been talking about Stephen Curry and whether to start him or sit him tonight. And Steve Kerr, the head coach, saying he looks tired. Well, Jimmy Butler was asked about that yesterday, and here's what he had to say about Curry being tired.
I'm not going to say it was wearing down, but it's okay to be tired. And that's on myself, and that's on us as a unit to pick up the slack for him. He's, you know, as everybody wants to think that he is superhuman, he is not. He is our leader, and we must protect him at all times. I will tell you that. So that's on myself for sure, but everybody else to make sure that we're doing what we're supposed to be doing and give my man a break.
How can you do that?
Make sure that we don't turn the ball over, one. Make sure we get a shot on goal. Make sure we get a good shot on goal like that. And execute. I think whenever you execute and get the ball where it needs to go, that's my job more than anybody's. And maybe Dre's. His job's a lot easier.
Jimmy Butler yesterday, when asked about Stephen Curry being tired, and he's like, yeah, and we need to take some off his plate. And I think that was Jimmy's way of saying, like, yeah, let me be the guy to take it off his plate. Let me get the ball in my hands. You know what, Steph? Give me the ball. I'll give you a rest here. But he's also kind of talking to Steph there a little bit too. And he says, yeah, we can't turn the ball over like that. Like, you're gonna tire yourself out even more when you're that lazy offensively and just throwing the ball away. Seven turnovers again for Stephen Curry. Just not good enough yesterday. And a guy that's been dealing with a lot this entire season, that was a bad performance yesterday from Steph Curry. It's okay to say that.
After every game that I play, coach, whatever, I do this whole reflecting in the car, especially after losses. Way more so after losses than wins. But you do this like a whole, like, I got to do this better. I got to do that better. I got to do this. And I guarantee you.
It's your own press conference a little bit.
With
kind
yourself.
Of in the car with
it used
yourself.
To be with my dad. My dad would call me or, you know, we'd be in the car with my dad. Sure. And he'd break down all the things I did good, bad, and primarily all the things I did bad. And he would also tell me in real time while the game was going on all the things I did bad. That's why I love him. But I guarantee you, Jimmy Butler was driving home last night from the arena saying, dude, I got to take over that game. I got to put more of my imprint on that game in the final 5 minutes.
I mean, that's why...
I guarantee he feels that way.
That's why you brought him in, not only for the regular season, but come playoff time, we know teams are going to try to take Steph out first.
And did you hear what he said?
What did he say?
Taking out Steph. He said, a shot. Oh, I mean a good shot.
Yes.
He clarified. And I think he looks at some of the shots these Warriors put up at times, and I don't know if that necessarily jives with what Jimmy describes as a good shot.
Well, come playoff time, I know what's a good, and he knows what is a good shot and what is not a good shot. And what's unique about Jimmy with regards to this team is he's the second best player on the team, and he's not a three-point shooter. Like, for the longest time, it was Klay was the second best player, or it was Kevin Durant was the second best player. Those guys are 3-point shooters. Andrew Wiggins has a good 3-point shot. He turned into a good 3-point shooter. That's not Jimmy Butler's game.
No.
So he has a much different perspective when it comes to what is a good shot when it comes to this team. He's like, no, guys, I know you're a 3-point shooting team, but I'm going to promise you, come playoff time, these forced 3-point shots are not the good shot. I can get a better mid-range shot, and it's a higher percentage shot. For me, give me the ball, and we could do that going forward.
There was a couple of possessions where he went, like, he saw Steph was going to shoot the three, and he went right into the paint to box out and put back a putback dunk and then had another rebound. You could tell he was like, yeah, I don't love that. And I'm not saying that, like, he doesn't love an in-rhythm, wide-open three. He doesn't like the forced one when we just got a stop and we've been struggling to get stops, and you're chucking up a 40-footer in traffic. Some of these shots Steph's gotten away with, right, over the years because he's Steph. But you're not Steph at 37 years old. And you're not Steph when you're not playing well in that game and you're tired and your back's hurt and you're old. Like, it's okay. Like, well, he's still an all-time legend. But there are certain games, like, that's not a good shot anymore. I'm sorry. You have to recalibrate. It's like the guy swinging for the fences when he's in a huge slump. How about we get a single? Can we get a single? We don't need a grand slam here when you cross half court. And it's okay to be fair to Steph Curry. We praise him for 15 straight years. He was terrible last night at the end of that game.
Dave, San Francisco, 888-957-9570. Dave, you resting Stephen Curry tonight?
Good morning, fellas. Yes, I'm resting Steph. I mean, you could tell he was laboring last night. And I think it's time you give Jonathan Kuminga a start. I think you got to get him back in rhythm. So give him his full 30, 32 minutes tonight and allow him to kind of get his footing underneath him as well. And trot him out there and play a lot of time with Jimmy and give Steph a rest. And then, you know, hopefully we can end this road trip against Toronto with Steph back and end it on a good note before heading on to the road. And then my second point is, you know the reason why we lost last night, right, fellas?
Why?
That boy, Jed York, was in the building. So he was bringing loser vibes.
I thought it was going to be Matt Nahegian.
A loser, bro.
Matt Nahegian was also in the building. Were you sitting next to Jed, Matt? Thumbs up or thumbs down? No, he doesn't want to. He doesn't like that. He's getting a little nervous. It's okay.
Who's got better hair, Matt or Jed?
It's not even close.
And Matt has hair, so.
Oh, wow.
So unfair.
Wow. That's.
Well, I was propping our boss up.
It's great. No, his hair hasn't moved an inch in his entire. If you had that same hair, he's touching it right now. It's perfectly coiffed. The product in there.
I gotta
whatever
say,
he's
Jed,
doing.
Jed just. The poor guy does not read the room. No one wants to see you tweet a photo of your kids. If you just look at the comments underneath them, it's like he can't.
Never look at the comments.
He can turn those off. Like, that's what I would do if I'm one of those folks. I just would turn the comments off.
No, but this is the problem. He lives in a bubble with a bunch of yes men around him. It's like he needs somebody to be a consigliere to be like, hey, Jed, I know you want to tweet that photo out with you and your kids, and I get it. Believe me, it's him, his kid with his friends, and I understand it's like fun and all. Think about the timing. Of everything that's been released regarding the 49ers right now, you're going to get cooked in the comments.
Well, you know what? How about people just be normal and separate sports from just real life?
But when you
the guy can have a family.
No. When you're
not allowed to post pictures of your kids, just whatever you want.
But this goes back to, if you're going to talk tough the week of the Super Bowl, and then we don't see.
No.
When was the last time we heard from Jed York?
It's not his fault that the team didn't know the rules for overtime.
He was celebrating the week of the Super Bowl, and I said to everyone, I would have waited a week later.
It's a week of celebration. It's a week of celebration. He's celebrating his team because they were in a good position.
Yeah, we'll just disagree.
That's fine.
If you're going to be out there forefront and center, you better be out there forefront and center 24-7, 365. Otherwise, it looks like fake hustle.
You know what, Joe? We might have some horrible takes on here, and we get crushed on social media, but damn right, I'm going to post pictures of me with Benny and Nora. And you know what? Tough if you don't like it. Sorry. Like, that's just life. That's just life.
Well, you also don't own a sports team or are a billionaire.
That's being accused of being a penny pincher, an indecisive penny pincher.
So let me go at his kids. That'll make me feel
better. I'm not saying what is. No. The family's off limits. The family's off limits. I'm just saying the guy just never can read the room. He just can't.
Leroy in Oakland. This is someone that can read the room all the time. Hey, Leroy, we starting Steph or we sitting him tonight?
We are definitely sitting him tonight. You know, last night, I think we were tired. I think all of the excitement with Jimmy Butler, I think the road trip, I think as a team, we were tired. And I think all that stuff is starting to wear off. We're settling in. I say we because I'm a big Warriors fan. And I just think that, you know, it was just a little bump in the road. I'm not too worried about it. You know, I had text you guys like on March 4th somewhere when we had beat Charlotte. And I was like, yeah, man, I feel an 8-9 game win streak coming on. Dog it, we almost got there. So I'm happy. I think it was a little bump in the road. I just think we're tired. Definitely sit Steph. I mean, we got 5 games coming up after this Milwaukee game. You know that we should get, you know, the Raptors, the Hawks, the Spurs. So, yeah, definitely rest them.
Leroy,
I mean, this life schedule coming up. Go ahead.
Leroy, you know, you and I see a lot of things the same way. I was getting frustrated last. It's been one of his, like, Achilles heels, if you will. It's not just the defense. To me, the turnovers, the careless turnovers, and I know that's baked into how he plays. It's a style of play. But last night, they get a couple stops, and then an immediate turnover. They needed to be a little more methodical, and that's where I wanted Jimmy to just kind of take over a little. I'm not saying, Steph, take a back seat. Just play within the fabric of the offense and work the ball a little. You know, there's a point in a game where there's momentum shifting. You get a big stop when you can't get stops, and if you turn it back over, it's like multiple turnovers, and it's just, I thought their situational half-court play last night was just driving me nuts with 6-7 minutes to go.
I totally agree with you. And I look at the Warriors when the guards are not rebounding, because here it is again. It comes back to, man, we need that one more big man that could get out there and that can rebound and that can set screens and that can hustle. And I think the guards make up for a lot of that rebounding. When the guards are rebounding, we are tough. But you look at last night, I mean, even Quentin Post, I mean, you have one rebound. Yep. You know, Buddy Hield didn't have any rebounds. So,
Good point.
I'm coming back to, you know, fatigue.
Yeah.
You know, we were tired. So let's rest up and get ready to go. But no big deal last night. We're ready.
Okay.
Love it.
Leroy and Oakland, he's still confident in this team. Are you as confident as Leroy? Was this just a one-off?
Leroy loved the Jimmy Butler acquisition day one, by the way. Loved it.
He was with us, man.
I
was all in on Jimmy Buckus prior to them even talking to him when we were talking about Kevin Durant. I was like, take a flyer on Jimmy Butler. I'm going to keep tooting my own horn there, Joe Shasky, because I thought he brought the mindset to this team, a more physical nature. And again,
I'm going
to
be humble in this one.
I will be. Actually, I won't be. You know what? Yeah, actually, I won't be humble in this one. I'm not.
Joe.
Hey, Jed, make a decision.
888-957-9570. Real quick. The physicality of the Golden State Warriors has been on display the last few weeks. And again, we've been talking about the teams they've been playing. I haven't been really impressed. You played a physical team yesterday without their two best players in the Denver Nuggets that you might be seeing in the playoffs. And you're going to be playing a more physical brand of basketball without any series, because that's just what series turn into.
Yeah.
It's more physical. You're going to get hacked more. They're not going to call as many fouls. And Stephen Curry spoke to that yesterday, Joe Shasky, about teams just playing them, and him in particular, more physical.
New York game was like that. Tonight was not that physical per se, but they put out athletic lineups. They were trying to switch everything and keep the ball in front, not let us get our usual kind of shot creation going. So, and that was from the jump. They got off to an 8-point lead in that first quarter. We fought back. I think we were up 2 at one point. And then just every time we needed to get a stop or have a stretch of good offensive possessions, we just couldn't do it. So, like I said, you have to credit them. They played great, but a lot of it was a lack of execution on our side.
Well, lack of execution, I'm not going to say lazy because that's a strong word, but it was just the focus and urgency. We keep coming back to that word, urgency, just I didn't feel it from a team that you need to keep winning. Like, you're not in a place where you can just take a night off.
Couldn't you tell early in the game?
Not. Yes.
They were going at the rim. It's like, all right, timeout, Steve Kerr.
Yes.
I actually thought Steve Kerr was late on the timeout in the beginning of the game.
Well, again, I referenced this earlier, but we posted a graphic, whether it was Whitley or whoever was at the game. Mark, it could have been Mark Randy. I'm not sure. But we posted a video of Steve Kerr just yelling and ripping into his assistant coaches as they were all huddled up during a timeout or a break in the action. And I was like, yeah, you needed that urgency early on from the players. And I just didn't feel that. So he was getting mad at his coaching staff. Maybe he was ripping into the players at some point too. I saw JK and Buddy Hield. They were having some conversations. Like, I don't know why it was so difficult for them heading into this game, knowing it should have been a big game all along. Like, I don't... Was it the fact that it wasn't Jokic and Murray? That's the only thing I could think of, where it's just like, did the big boys, did the top dogs lose some urgency in this game knowing they weren't going up against the best in the West? Because that absolutely could be a thing, right?
I mean,
like we all said it in the chat, Joe Shasky, like, wow, these guys aren't playing. Well, that kind of stinks. Like, that lost its luster a little bit, right? But you can't let that seep into your starting lineup.
No.
You can't let that seep, because that's a trickle-down effect. From the star players, then the Kamingas of the world are going to feel that. The Moses Moody's, the Quentin Posts are going to feel like, oh, well, if these guys aren't taking it that seriously, maybe I should... I just felt the energy just was off early on in the game. It was just off.
It was, and like they had trouble securing the ball on second chance opportunities. I thought they closed out okay. Denver hit a lot of tough shots. I know that's not the greatest breakdown the day after a game when you lose to a bunch of people you never heard of.
Right.
But they did. They hit a lot of big shots. I mean, when Russ hit that dagger at the end, I was like, you got to be kidding me. That's just their night.
You could have hit anything. Oh, my. Russell Westbrook yesterday was 5 of 18, him. 2 of 9 from the three-point line. Him. 12 points, 16 assists, 12 boards. Because he'll let you know it. That's why he loses today. He'll be doing all that talk. He'll be talking smack the entire game. He'll be going at fans the entire game. Speaking of fans, there were some people that were at the game yesterday. Let's go to Junior in Pacifica.
Hey, Junior.
Who was at the game yesterday, talking about the energy we were just referencing. What's up, Junior? You're on with Spadoni and Chasky.
Yes, exactly. No, good stuff you guys are sharing. And I actually want to make a very strange point after a disappointing loss like this one, which I was at the game last night, and this actually showed me the value of making sure to go to some games, even with the high ticket prices and so on, because I could feel the disorder on the Warriors side in a way that I couldn't have through the TV or the radio.
How so?
Or reading about it the next day. It's hard to describe in words. It was like in my body, watching it in person caused me a physical reaction of like, what the heck? What is going on? What are my Warriors doing on that hardwood? You know, like you wanted to go down and help them, you know, see if they needed some medicine or something or a drink to just to make them feel better, not to win the game or lose it. And that feeling of despair when the other team's shots are all going in, which we cause in other people all the time when we're on. That's like Steph Curry's, you know. Calling card. Well, we had that done to us. Like you said, everything of theirs seemed to be going in. It was ridiculous. And again, you feel that in person and with the crowd there with you, it's like having an extra sense. So I might have thought I would be disappointed to go to an occasional game and have it be such a disaster, but it's actually, I'm really glad because I get so much pleasure out of the Warriors, talking to you guys. Grandy was really on one last night in a good way.
Wait, you were listening to the Grandy man?
The Grandy man's fired up, man. That was a bad loss yesterday. He was pissed,
what
wasn't he, Junior?
What are they doing?
That's disrespectful. He doesn't sound like
I know, but he has his tone is different than... I'm trying to nail his tone. I got to get an impression for him.
Yeah.
A limited fake.
Frank Caliendo. We'll get him in studio.
Matt, you were at the game last night. Matt had great seats last night.
He doesn't have his headphones on. He's not talking on the air. Thank you, Junior in Pacifica.
Why not?
He doesn't want to. He's giving me a
he's
face.
He's hard at work during boss stuff right
he's
now.
He's literally like just gave me a look, just like, don't go to me.
Well, I want to know, did he have that same palpable feeling that the caller had in pregame that something was different?
I don't know about pregame, but the entire game did feel off.
It did.
There was just no energy from the team,
yeah.
No energy from the crowd.
You were sitting courtside.
Yeah, he was.
Damn right I was.
That's the courtside Matt right there. That was a flex moment of the show. It's a throwback.
Did you FaceTime your boys when you were sitting FaceTime?
No, I was sitting directly behind Jokic the entire game.
Oh, so he's blocking you.
Yeah.
Were his brothers sitting next to you? That's the real question.
That would be a no.
Oh, that would have been the most frightening experience of my life. I don't know whether to be frightened or safe if one of the Jokic brothers is sitting next to me. Well, I don't know. It depends.
My favorite is the Jokic brothers Twitter account. It's like, we are looking for Markieff Morris.
I'm just glad that Matt Nahegan did not have a Tracy Morgan courtside moment yesterday.
Okay. We haven't even discussed that. Did you see what happened there, everybody? Have you been paying attention? All of a sudden they go, the game's being paused. A fan has thrown up courtside, and then come to find out it's Tracy Morgan who threw up all over the floor. And then by the end of the Warrior game, somebody had put a Photoshop of Warrior like headgear and a jersey on Tracy Morgan, and the photo, someone snapped the most perfect photo of him barfing, and there's barf coming out of his mouth onto the floor. It's one of the greatest shots of all time.
Don't worry, everyone, people were concerned because he had to leave in a wheelchair. he posts on Instagram real quick. Yeah, thank you all for your concern. This is Tracy Morgan.
It was the most disgusting photo.
He's
I've ever
doing
seen.
Okay. It was food poisoning, according to the doctors.
Yes,
that's what he said. He had food poisoning.
See his jacket is like black with all those sparkles on it.
It's
called bedazzled.
Getting
Why he's getting wheeled out. I just completed the whole thing.
It was, no, the
I
memes.
Feel better today,
the
Tracy.
Memes were all time. It was just, man.
So good.
The Knicks are making everybody sick. Just watching them.
I mean, the fact that's the Knicks, too, just adds
and the Miami Heat.
To it.
Andrew Wiggins was there, too.
I was preparing dinner for the little guy waiting for the Warrior game, and we were doing tacos, right? And I'm like, why is this Knicks game taking forever? What is going on here? And like the officials went over there, and then I checked the internet like 15, 20 minutes later. I'm like, it was Tracy Morgan.
It was so bad. The people sitting next to him too, like the women that were just sitting like just
it was
like
incredible,
trying to like scoot away. And you know who was sitting next to him? I don't know the actor. I think it's Steve Sharipa.
I don't know who that is.
Bobby Bacala. Bobby,
oh, yeah, from The Sopranos.
He was sitting next to Tracy courtside. Bobby Boccialieri. Oh, my goodness. Let's get him on. Can we reach out to him?
Yeah,
hear from
seriously.
Him.
Matt's like, I have a number for his high school teacher back in 82.
I have the picture right here. Tracy Morgan giving
it's
the thumbs
time.
Up. I'm glad he's doing okay.
I actually do
okay.
have Bobby Bacala's number.
No way.
Oh, my God. Hey, he had a story. He had a story about Reggie Jackson one time. I think he was on Conan talking about it. One of the all-time Reggie Jackson, Bobby Boccialieri moments. Let's get to some other callers, because that was everything withstanding. The Tracy Morgan stuff was the low light of the evening in sports.
If that happens
insane.
To you at the game, like you almost can't come back out for a long time after that.
Well, he got wheelchaired out. You were like, concerned.
No, if I'm Tracy Morgan, I'm showing up courtside to the next Knicks game. No,
people,
I'm,
is he getting
I'm
a standing
down, but I'm not out. I'm returning.
Is he getting a standing
down,
ovation?
Right again.
Is he getting a standing ovation, Sam, if he does that?
But.
Is that, like, I mean, outside of, like, cheating on your significant other, which you see at, like, soccer games where, like, the guy's, like, got his arm around
Yikes.
Someone who's clearly not his girlfriend or his wife, and then all of a sudden, like, the camera pans on them, and they're like, whoa! Like, outside of that, that's probably the worst thing that you can
embarrassing,
have happen.
Most embarrassing thing you can do at a sporting event. It's that or proposing and getting rejected.
Yeah, that...
That's a tough scene. That's happened before. Or throwing up all of... What is the most embarrassing thing that could happen to you at a sporting event? 888-957-9570.
Dude, my guy was 100% off that Henny last night.
Picking your
it
nose?
Was brown.
Oh, that's a good one, Matt. You're picking your nose. Jim, as we're talking about March Madness, Jim Boeheim on line one, picking your nose constantly courtside. It's a no-go. You can't be doing that.
No.
I mean, I got a honker, Joe Shasky. I can't be getting caught in 4K with the finger up the schnoz.
I mean, we had a photo of Matt in Steph Curry.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, like, Carter sends it to the group thread. It's Steph Curry. And then in the background, you just see Matt and Hegan with the glasses, our fearless boss. And I literally did the caption. I texted it right to him. Look. And it's him looking at Steph Curry.
There you go. That's a good one.
I needed him to have one finger up the nose, though, to really complete the photo.
Let's go to the calls here. John is in Fairfield. He's been hanging on. What's up, John?
What's up, John?
Yo, Shasky, Spadoni. What's up, fellas?
What's up?
Doing great. Doing better than Tracy Morgan.
Long time listener.
Thanks, man.
Tracy Morgan, man, I missed it. I didn't see what happened, but yeah, you can't be doing that, man.
It's a party foul.
But yeah, my take was, man, you know, oftentimes your greatest strength is your greatest weakness, right? And we all love Draymond's passion, you know, but oftentimes it boils over and can cost us games. Hey, it even cost us a championship, some may say. Then with Steph, you know, his freedom of play, his audacity, that's what makes him special. You know, you get the great plays, but also you get these dumb turnovers where he tries to hit the home run play. So that was just my take. You know, you got to take the good with the bad, I guess. But, you know, in order for us to, you know, win the championship, those bads, we got to have a lot less bad and more good. So.
You referenced Draymond Green's intensity. There was a moment.
Thanks, John. Good call.
Where they had Aaron Gordon trapped on the sideline near the bench, and it was him and Kuminga, I believe. I thought they fouled him.
Yeah.
Okay, whatever. That's what I thought, again, on television. And I was like, Dre's getting kicked out of this game. We have an opportunity to probably lose this game.
He's fired
and
up.
You know,
yesterday.
To his credit, he reined himself in. And I think one thing that I've noticed about him over the last month and a half, is there are seminal moments in games where you feel like, uh-oh, he's going to go over the edge. And he's kind of like peeled it back a little. I also credit the referees for not, you know, baiting it into
Wow,
it.
You're crediting the referees.
I will give the referees credit. Mark
Davis and Co. Wow.
Like Dre was not happy with the officiating. The one that got me was the Kuminga, where he's going to the lane, gets stripped, but he got hacked on the arm, and he goes up for the dunk. Another one, he was going to dunk at the rim, but the sequence where he was going to the lane as a driver, as a penetrator, not just an alley-oop, he got stripped, and I thought it was a foul. The whole team stopped, and you got to play through the whistle, and they went down the other way, and they hit a big three. That was a big momentum play.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco on Odyssey Sports Station. Always live in the free Odyssey app. And we are coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. Laughing Monk, righteously brewed in San Francisco. I love that word, righteously. I just think of like Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. Like, righteous, bro. Totally. Triumphant. Right? No? Excellent. Bill and Ted's? Is that
it's
a good reference still?
It's an all-time movie.
Thank you. All right. I was just making sure we have all seen that, right? I made the Tom Green reference.
Keanu Reeves is like at his all-time like peak.
All-time. By the way, you mentioned Draymond Green.
It's bodacious, bro.
Totally. I think that maybe that was after Fast Times at Ridgemont High, but I do think it was absolutely.
No, yeah. Because Fast Times at Ridgemont High is like early 80s.
Right. And then like early 90s was Bill and Ted. So yeah.
Yeah, late 80s, early 90s.
Sure. 89.
Yeah, 89.
There you go. Fast Times at Ridgemont High, 83, 84?
I think so.
Maybe 82?
Yeah, it was something like that. Yeah. But say Spicoli.
Spicoli.
They're all
when
the same
he orders
guy.
The pizza, it's all
right.
Time.
No shirt, no shoes, no dice, right? Draymond Green, sixth player in franchise history to record 6,000 career rebounds, joining Nate Thurman, Wilt Chamberlain,
wow.
Larry Smith, Clyde Lee, and Paul Arizin? Arizin?
Absolutely incredible.
He tallied a season high, tying 5 blocks as well. He last did that on October 30th versus the Pelicans.
It's always fun.
He's the Pelicans in a minute. What have they been up to? I think you're
not helping the Warriors out in the standings.
I think you're going to see them on this road trip. You are on Friday, March 28th.
That'll be a game they show up for.
Well, Zion's been playing sneakily well. I'm just saying that. Like everyone said, and I heard Leroy and Oakland saying they're going to get on this. They're going to get fat and happy on this road trip. Well, you better take care of business tonight, because then all the pressure starts coming against these teams that you should beat, quote unquote. Well, the Nuggets should have beaten the Wizards over the weekend. What happened? They didn't. Like, yeah. So that could happen against you. You don't think the Miami Heat are going to be fired up on Tuesday to play you in Miami? And we know the Miami flu is real, Joe Shasky. We talk about that all the time. No, you and Bonte, the Miami flu.
Are the Heat suffering from said flu?
Well, whatever I added with Tracy Morgan. Maybe they ate the same food that Tracy did.
They've lost 8 in a row.
JC, yeah.
Andrew Wiggins trade. I mean, as frustrated as Warrior fans are this morning, the Miami Heat have lost 8 in a row. They're 1-9 in their last, and they're basically 4-15 over the last 19.
We knew they were cooked, though. They weren't doing anything after that trade, but I hear you.
They've lost 8 in a row.
It's fine.
The Warriors are surging.
We knew what.
I'm just saying.
We knew what they were doing.
I've got an eye on them.
Sure.
You don't watch League Pass. I watch League Pass. Me and Meb the boss.
The hell with Hope.
JC, San Jose.
Jesus Christ.
888-957-9570. You watch your mouth. It's Lent, all right? Don't use the Lord's name in vain, all right?
It's from the Meet the Parents.
I know. Are you resting Stephen Curry tonight on the back end of a back-to-back? JC, are you resting
What's
him?
Up, JC?
Hey, guys. Yeah, this is KC in San Jose.
Oh, KC. That's why. Okay. There you go.
So, Joe, I got a point for you, so give me 30 seconds. But to answer your question, yeah, you got to rest him. I think the birthday party on Friday, a little two-day hangover is happening. His back's a little tweaked. And if Pajenski's coming back, because the turnovers that happened yesterday, look, A, he's always been like that. And B, when you're tired, you take the quick way out, especially when you're 37. And quick way out for him is to fire up the crowd and take those shots. So when they go in, we're all happy. When they don't, we have 2 hours of radio show, right? But that being said, Italian Joe, you better watch out for Shasky over there. I can just see him kind of like two-faced. I know he's talking about the Warriors, but the right side of his brain and just face is about to go off on the Niners.
Yeah.
And if in the next half an hour news comes out that Jung-Ho Lee is going to miss like 6 months or something with back surgery, you better control him, man.
Thank you,
I'm not going to lie to you.
Thank you, Casey.
The Niners better be happy.
Go to Harvey Dent right there. Joe Dent. There you go.
The Niners better be very happy that the Warriors are the headline story, because
you'd be ripping them.
It's just dumb football.
I would be ripping him. We're all ready to like storm the gates. What are we talking about?
Let's relax here. We're not storming the black gates. This isn't Return of the King. All right. We're not.
What are we doing?
Mordor.
What are we doing? We're operating, you know what we're operating like? Like the Clippers of the 90s, like the Warriors of the 90s, like the Raiders of the last 25 years. That's what they're operating like. And it's, to me, it's the indecisiveness. It's not about each individual transaction. It's the body of work over 2 years. So yeah, the Niners should be very happy because I'd be crushing them right now.
Sign Brock Purdy, get a good deal, nail the draft. Everything will be okay.
Still the betting favorites in the NFC West.
Thank you. Vegas knows.
I think the nation is slow to come around.
Bet against them. You won't. You won't. Bet against them. Put your money where your mouth is.
They finished the season 6-11. They got a lot of work to do. That we can acknowledge both being true.
Sure.
And I love Shanahan.
Last play schedule.
Guys.
Saying.
If you guys want to bring this up, let's. Do you feel really good about everything that's transpired the last 15 months with the Niners?
Do I feel great about it or good about it? No, but I don't feel horrible about it. Somewhere in between.
I think a lot of Niner fans are like, this is the most Niner fans like, just what are we doing?
Well, most fans, again, like you just mentioned, they're going to Jed York for posting pictures of his family. So they like, come on.
Yeah, because they're asking, what are we doing? Like, do you want juice? Do you not want juice? Do you want Greenlaw? Do you not want Greenlaw? Did you want Brandon Ayuk or do you not want Brandon Ayuk? Patience. Do you want Brock Purdy or do you not want Brock Purdy? That's what most fans are saying.
Patience is a virtue, Joe Shasky. That's all I'm going to say.
Everyone's making moves.
It's okay. You got time. Now, I'll say this. If it lingers, if it goes through the draft, we got problems. Get it done sooner rather than later. I'll say that. Brett, San Francisco.
Okay.
Brett in San Francisco. Are we starting Stephen Curry or are we resting him tonight? He's dealing with some back issues. Are we protecting him from himself or not? Brett, what say you?
Morning, Bison. Almost done.
Oh, love that.
I'm telling you right now, we're resting him 100%. I think everybody needs to just take a little sip off the Kool-Aid, put it back on the shelf, and relax. And we went 15-2.
It's true.
In the last 17 games. We have, I understand the difference between wins and losses between the 2 seed all the way to what, the 7 seed are within 4 or 5 games. I get it. But health is number one. And if you don't have your health coming into the playoffs, I don't care if it's a 2 seed or a playing game. Like, they need to rest him 100%. I don't even put a stress on today's game, to be honest with you. Even if we lose today's game.
But can you also acknowledge, one sec, can you also acknowledge if you do lose today and the Clippers win, dropping to the 8 seed, that is a gut punch.
It is a gut punch. But, I mean, also, it's a fluctuation of how deep the West is.
It's true.
And anybody can lose 2-3 games in a row in a Texas second. And I don't doubt that it will happen. I mean, like the caller called a few ago, there's a nice little look to the schedule coming up here on the road. There's going to be a nice 5-6 game window where they can put together a 4 or 5 games together. All I'm saying is just relax, pump the brakes. There's nothing to look at here. But thanks for taking the call, guys.
Good call.
Thanks, Brett.
I think that's a reasonable point of view.
Sure, but you also just lost to a Nuggets team that had been struggling and they didn't have their 2 best players. So, like apples and oranges here when we're coming to the Denver Nuggets of the world and then the Milwaukee Bucks and then the Raptors, again, who you lost to earlier. We got Samedi and Los Gatos. We got Randolph and Atlanta. We'll get to them on the other side. 888-957-9570 is the number. I'm looking at the schedule, though. As the Clippers, Joe Shasky, are right on your heels. They're a game back.
I can't believe it.
You know what the last game of the season is at Chase Center?
Warriors-Clippers.
At 12:30, April 13th. Could it come down to being a play-in or a playoff team there?
Oh, my God.
That'd be crazy, right?
Oh, my God.
Right? I mean, that's a strong possibility, and that is what I do not want.
Master because... Sunday?
Oh. Hold on.
Look at your face.
Hold on. I got it. Where is it at?
By the way, did you see it? Some commercial came out over the week.
So excited. I'll start the F. I'm freaking excited about the Masters, all right? All right. March Madness, like, this does something to me, too. Don't get it twisted. I get excited about that. It's great.
Send an intro.
Like, I started like I lost the playoff yesterday. The 3-hole playoff between JJ Spahn and Rory McIlroy. Rory wins his second player. It was bad. But there is. I was watching that. I was like, can Rory finally get that green jacket? That's the only thing that he's missing.
Yeah,
is that green jacket? Well, can he do it?
That and being a commoner again. Guy's been so rich for so long, he forgot who he was.
Well, I mean, he's a. professional athletes on line one. I'm sorry. That's just what happens.
I wouldn't
right?
mind being that rich.
But, well, I don't think anyone would, quite frankly. And
I'll
by
give
the
a
way,
shot.
We got a lot to get into. We got one more segment to go. We'll put a bow on this conversation. Most embarrassing thing you could do at a sporting event, 888-957-9570, as Tracy Morgan threw up all over himself. He's okay. He had food poisoning, and that happens. By the way, Carter, our own Carter, said he had food poisoning. Hopefully, I think he's got the Cabo flu, the Cabo food poisoning. Hopefully, he didn't have a tainted burrito down there at tacos.
There's a bachelor party joke there in there somewhere.
Yeah, we're going to be careful there. We don't want to get in trouble. Samita and Randolph will get to you. Do you start Steph, or do you play him tonight? Bucks, Warriors, and I want to have a Giannis Antetokounmpo conversation on the other side as well, because it always is lingering. If Giannis flames out, if the Warriors get one and done in a series, do you revisit those conversations? That's what's coming up next. Brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Spring into action at Valvoline Instant Oil Change.